Welcome back to the Life on Target podcast. Your host, Nathan Spearing here, bringing you my interview with David Benham of the Benham Brothers. Him and his brother, Jason, started in professional baseball after college, but then quickly moved into entrepreneurship where they started and scaled their real estate business nationwide, pivoted into many other entrepreneurial endeavors, including their very own HGTV show that never saw the light of day because the woke mob bullied HGTV into canceling them. So you'll hear a little bit more about that and about how their business provided a force field for them to remain steadfast to the faith and stay the course, even though all the different special interest groups were targeting them and their businesses hostily, trying to take over their social media, things like that. Phenomenal interview, extremely encouraging and relevant for those of us that are trying to boldly walk out our faith. I think you'll be hugely encouraged by the interview. Enjoy. All right, so I came over for y'all's expert ownership workshop, which is awesome, first of all.
Good.
I can't believe I get a whole another day of it because there's plenty to work on in the first day. But our podcast is kind of, I'm trying to document my journey leaving military, leaving employment, and advocating for small business and personal agency, specifically in men, but wanting to have family-based economies, small businesses, and is all right in line with everything that you're saying. But I think maybe that, and another thing is break down some of those denominational barriers between the church and to kind of get a little bit more church global and find the other believers, because we don't have time to squabble Army versus Navy here.
No.
There's a battle raging.
Those days are over.
Yep. So anyway, would fill people in real quick on who you are, who your family is, your background.
Yeah.
And that may or may not have been following you up to this point.
Absolutely. Well, I'm David Benham. My twin brother, Jason, and I were baseball players. We went to Liberty University and then graduated, and both of us got drafted. He was drafted by the Orioles. I was drafted by a better team, the Red Sox. So I'm the older brother. We are identical twins. We're both married. Jason married a lady named Tori, and I married Lori. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
We have
not. And y'all lived together at one point too, right?
We had to at one time when we were building our first business. But I've got five kids. Jason has four. So I've got kids now graduating college, and I got kids all the way down to 12. So that's my youngest. And so you've got five as well.
Yep.
So you're right
in
the sweet spot.
Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, exactly. Jason only has four. But so we're husbands, we're fathers, we're brothers. We live on the same street in Charlotte. We're five doors down from each other. When we got out of pro baseball, we didn't know what we were going to do, but we decided, you know, let's get into business. Now, if I pause for just a second, we were raised by a pastor. I wasn't raised by an entrepreneur. I wasn't raised, by somebody that could fund or do anything, other than give me biblical principles. So now fast forward, I'm out of baseball now looking to start a business. I had no training whatsoever, but I did have lots of principles from scripture. So Jason and I started our first business, built it upon the foundation of the principles of the Bible. And that first company grew to 100 offices in 35 states. And that was pretty exciting. So now all of a sudden we're franchising. We have hundreds of people working for us. We're topping all these charts, Inc. Magazine, Wall Street Journal, all these other things. And that was really fun until all of a sudden, Jason and I realized, okay, we're not in ministry. And then we just paused for a second because that was actually a lie.
Mm.
We always thought, you know, one day I want to be in ministry. I want to impact people for the Lord, you know, cause we're Christians and
pastor culture.
Yeah.
In your home.
It was very much so. Yeah. Like if you're in ministry, you have to be a pastor.
Mm.
Or you have to be like a writer or something like that, you know, a speaker. But then we realized as we were reading the Bible and still growing our business at the same time, like going to church and we're reading our Bibles and growing our businesses. I remember we were at one of our franchise conferences. We had several hundred people there, and Jason and I are standing at the front, and I had my Bible open, and I was literally outlining the systematization of a business through the way that Solomon systematized the building of the temple. And I remember it was almost like an audible voice said, who told you you weren't in ministry? Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Like God saying to Adam and Eve,
you have your Bible open in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's very much
a
platform.
That's right. And I'm not sitting there just telling them how to think. I'm actually showing them, here's how you can practically act in the marketplace to systematize your business. Look mm-hmm. at the way that Solomon did this, 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 and this, and this is what we're going to do in our business. And Jason and I built our systematization. We actually built our standard operating procedures based on multiple principles that we found in Scripture, which we didn't know it at the time. It's kind of countercultural. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So then the Lord really began to convict my brother and I that we were in full-time ministry right from the very beginning, from the time that I accepted Christ into my heart. I knew I was in ministry, like, but I didn't realize it. Like, I didn't really know it. I didn't know it in my knower, right? It wasn't deep in my gut until that moment in front of those franchisees. And so we learned three things at that time, three paradigms for Jason and I that really launched us from this point forward was, as a believer, in the marketplace, number one, I am a minister. Number two, I am on mission. And number three, my work is worship. Mm-hmm. And if you take that into the marketplace, or if you take that into your home, like you as a husband and as a father, I'm speaking of husbands and dads here. Of course, we know that moms are ministers. They're like the Amen. Best ministers of all. But as a husband and as a father, I am a minister of God. I have Jesus in my heart. And I am on mission. I need to be on mission with my wife and my children. I need to be on mission with my community, with my business, with the way that I work. I am on mission when we go out to eat. Mm-hmm. I am on mission when I'm at the gym. Yep. I am on mission everywhere I go. And my work is worship. Your work is the number one way that it reflects on your character. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of worker are you? Are you faithful in the little things? Are you a fountain or a drain? Are you a producer or a consumer? Are you a conduit or a cul-de-sac? All of these little things, Jason yep. and I, we've had to learn over the years, right? Yep. So now standing on that platform with that new identity, our businesses really began to grow. Jason and I began to locate other subject matter experts in different fields, and we would say, okay, we're going to fund a company. We want you to run it. And we began, you know, leadership development. Next thing you know, we have several companies. They're all growing. And that's when a production company came to us, 2014, and wanted to do a reality show with my brother and I. And so we signed a deal with them, which turned into a deal with HGTV. And HGTV, we told them right from the beginning, look, we are solid Christian. We built everything we have on the principles of the Bible. And check this out. They said, well, many of us believe like you do. Mm-hmm. We just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And we said, and they were like, we just don't want you to put your Bible on the screen, but we do want you guys to highlight your real estate company and all the stuff that
you are.
Yeah, just be who you are, which was exciting. They paid us all this money, and Chip and Joanna Gaines had just launched Fixer Upper. And so now you had Fixer Upper and then Flip It Forward. Ours was Flip It Forward. Fixer Upper had piloted, done very well. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden we're 12. We've got 12 week. No, it's a 10 week film shoot for my brother and I and our families. And so just after the premiere of Fixer Upper, now all of a sudden the premiere of Flip It Forward was coming. Mm-hmm. And this was really exciting for our families. Endorsements are coming in. They're paying us all this money. I couldn't believe it. Commercials are running. And that's when the activist groups caught wind. Mm-hmm. The Benham brothers are getting a show. Now, how did they even know who the Benham brothers were? Well, I'll hit pause and go back. When Jason and I were 15 years old, our dad left being a pastor and became a pro-life minister. Mm-hmm. And in Dallas, Texas. And he put his office next to the busiest abortion clinic in Dallas. And our family used to minister to all these mothers that were seeking abortion. And we'd have some of these moms who would choose life. They'd come into our homes. And one of the people that my dad ministered to was the Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade. That's Norma mm-hmm. McCorvey. She ended up praying to receive the Lord. My dad baptized her. Her lesbian partner got saved at our house. We baptized her. And it was just an amazing thing. And that became national news.
You're 15.
I was 15. I was watching this whole thing. And yet... we did not realize it at the time that now all of a sudden the narrative, because I wasn't paying attention to news. I was a baseball player. I was about to head to college. The narrative that was circulating before social media, but this was just in the newspapers and, you know, in mainstream news, was that Flip Benham is this right-wing extremist, mm-hmm. you know, anti-abortion. That's the words that they, no, excuse me. Anti-abortion activist.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say he's a pro.
Some of that stuff endures kind of still at the top levels.
Oh, it still
of
does.
Things.
Yeah.
If you Google your dad or your whatever, it's just like,
it's out there.
It retains its potency and its nastiness.
Yeah.
Kind of,
you know, Socrates once said, he who defines wins. Like if you can define it, that's the reason why the mainstream media and the radical leftist groups are so eager to define conservatives or Christians.
They
want to define
them,
define men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're toxic, they're self-absorbed. And yeah, and a lot of that is true, but that's not really our identity. We are way more than that. But anyway, so now all of a sudden, dad is this extremist, this anti-abortion extremist. So now fast forward, we're telling HGTV, you know who we are. And they were like, oh, yeah. No, we know exactly who you guys are. We've done all the research. Mm-hmm. And this is literally what they said. Those are narratives that we know circulate about your family.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was amazing.
They've been down that road before.
Yeah, they're like, God, we see this all the time.
Yeah.
There are groups that hate people and they just try to define them, put them in, you know, push them into a box. And so anyway, now all of a sudden, we're just about to air in 2014. And these extremist groups, they just started circulating the narratives and they started writing new articles. And now you have social media.
Mm.
And so they did a hostile social media takeover. They bombarded HGTV. HGTV thought the sky was falling and then fired us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard because the GM was crying. And I mean, it was very hard on them. And we never had an ill word to say about HGTV, but we did say, you got bullied into this.
Mm.
And now this was 8 years ago. Now it's 2022 where we're recording this. This is 2014 when we got fired. And so that was cancel culture before it became a hashtag. Now we're seeing cancel culture everywhere.
Yep.
Oh, you don't believe like us? You don't think that a five-year-old can get a sex change? You're bigot extremist. I'm going to fire you from your job or whatever, you know? Like, you can't be a teacher at this school because you think that whites and blacks are equal.
Yep.
Like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, this is just it's crazy just the nonsense, the moral, spiritual, and social insanity that we're seeing. So this was 8 years ago, and Jason and I said, we are going to stand up to this. And so we wrote a book about it called Whatever the Cost. That became a bestseller. And next thing you know, we're traveling the country, and we're realizing people are scared. They're scared of this media mafia, this cancel culture mob. They're scared of losing their jobs. But at the same time, they're equally scared of drag queen story hour taking the kindergarten class on a field trip. You know, I mean, it's just like this stuff's happening, right? It's right before our very eyes. Now, Disney has announced that 50% of their animated characters are going to be LGBTQIA+. Like, how are you going to animate a bisexual character? Like, how are you going to do that and show that to my 3, 4, 5-year-old? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, even trying to think it through, I'm like, how are
they
going to do that?
Well, and they're good at nesting that in.
That's
and,
exactly
and
right.
And we as Christians, like you talked about in the Bible study this morning, we don't say at the first onset of that, that's a lie.
That's a lie.
We don't, we tolerate it a little bit. And we do that in our own personal lives. So
that's
we can
right.
have a little bit of sin over here. I don't have to give this part of my life to God. I don't have to let him really indwell every aspect of every thought captive, every scroll, every click, everything that I put before my eyes, every energy and attention. I'm just going to hold this over here. I'm just going to let that creep in.
Mm-hmm.
And you shared, one of the things that I advocate on our podcast is you have a diversity, financial diversity.
Yes, that's
you
key.
Have eight, and we talk about started out this podcast talking about personal agency being the ability to make your own choices, and then I'm dealing in the economic and family culture side of it, and that's what you guys do. You said yesterday in the workshop we were bulletproof.
Yep.
At that point, wasn't. You didn't put all your eggs in HGTV. Somebody would be like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I get to slack off everywhere else.
No.
And I feel like a lot of Christians, they think, oh, I got $200,000 a year job.
Yeah.
I paid my mortgage. I can handle Netflix. And they're coasting.
That's right.
And
having no idea that riches will take wings and fly away.
Yeah.
That's
so
what it says
talk about the kind of what you said about the church.
Yep.
And then and what your specific mission is with business owners and why you're doing that. I mean, it be hard on, I mean,
oh,
I've told
I
the
people,
our listeners don't come here to for or niceness. We're going to be kind because we're going to speak the truth.
You mean the gospel of nice?
Yes.
With a small N. That is a false gospel. That is a Jesus small J. Mm-hmm. It's a Jesus that in scripture, it says Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Mm. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Now the hypocritical love is only cling to what is good.
Mm.
But then now we're actually realizing, how can you even define what is good?
Yeah.
And so you get these pastors, they'll talk about the blessed life and they'll talk about character lessons and they're glorified CEOs, or really they're glorified marketers.
Mm.
Not all of them, thank God for the remnant. But the real Jesus, the capital J Jesus, is to hate evil. He actually loves like Jesus loves, which is to hate evil and love good.
Yeah.
You have to make a distinction between evil and good. It's what any loving parent would do.
Yeah.
Your kid is going to grab dishwashing detergent and drink it. They're 3 years old. It's like, no. You know, it's like whatever it takes, you're going to say, no. They're putting it right to their lips. Yep. You'll smack it out of their hand if you have to, right? Yep. Because you love them.
Yeah.
And you say, no, this is bad. Now, what if you would refuse to tell them that, refuse to talk about that being bad, and you only say, Kool-Aid's good, just drink Kool-Aid. It's the only thing you can drink. Well, in the back of their mind, they're always like, I wonder what that detergent would taste like. You know what I'm saying? It's like we have to train because we're loving fathers. It's the real Jesus. So we've built the Franken Church in America, and Franken Church is a monster that has been built that we have to keep propped up, that has sucked out the resources and the time, talent, and treasure of God's people so that we can keep this thing propped up.
Mm.
And we wrote in our second book, Living Among Lions, How to Thrive Like Daniel in Today's Babylon. We said, if the full-time staff and the buildings were all removed from churches across America, just ask those listening to this, would you still have a church in your city?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is no, well, then you might want to make some adjustments. If the answer is yes, then go ahead and start doing church that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you can't go into a building. Look, I love central heat and air. I love to be cool and sit on a padded chair, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's bad. None of that's bad. And I'm not even saying a large gathering of people is bad, but that is not discipleship. Discipleship does not take place on rows, but in circles, right? You can't get discipled by staring at the back of a dude's head. Well, back of 1,500 other people's head while one man stands on stage.
And then
speaks.
You leave and act no different.
And you act
for
no different.
Days.
Yeah. So what we've done, and I'm not saying because I am part of a church, but this man is a spiritual leader with spiritual elders, and we have spiritual community, and we are engaged in the culture. We are standing for life. We are really, I mean, we are swaying in our city toward righteousness, right? Like, think about it. If a discipled man has a discipled home, that turns into a discipled business or workplace, which turns into a discipled community, which turns into a discipled city, state, nation, right? That's important. So Jason and I found very quickly, though, when we got fired by HGTV, the Franken Church will not stand.
Mm-mm.
We would talk to celebrity preachers and these big influencers, and they would literally, I kid you not, Nathan, they would whisper to us in the green room because we'd get invited to speak because now all of a sudden we had like, ooh, these guys were cool. They had HGTV and now they get fired. So let's hear their story.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking to these people in the green room and they're like, we believe like you guys, you know, we stand with you, but we just don't talk about it from the pulpit.
Shame. Like,
what the heck?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Do you read John chapter 10? Mm-hmm. It says that a faithful shepherd sees a wolf and fights for the flock. And then it says a hireling, when he sees a wolf, runs and hides because he cares nothing about the flock. He only cares about himself. Mm-hmm. The only reason you wouldn't stand and identify a wolf or hate evil to protect the flock is because your image, your income, and your influence matters more to you than protecting the flock. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've seen in Franken Church. But here's the good news. God is busting that bad boy up.
Big time.
Yeah. And there are those that are pivoting, like Jack Hibbs in Chino Hills, California. He's a friend of ours. That guy, he's one of the few. He is standing faithfully and preaching God's word. 10,000 people, and he is begging people, go to other churches, please. Go to other churches, be salt and light. They're like, but our pastor's not speaking the truth. Like, he won't talk about evil.
Yeah.
He's not talking about how California is bankrupting itself morally and spiritually. And so,
well, that's all the faithful pastors,
that's
the
right.
flocks are getting eat up by wolves in the office place, and they're not being given the solution. And so they're going, where can I get somebody to give
right.
me the answer?
That's
where
right.
And in that dire, as the Lord's shaking all these foundations that are built on the wrong yes. things, like fathers, husbands, and wives, families are looking, where can I find people
yep.
that are serious about this? Because I'm looking at it and I'm not seeing it, and it's this undercurrent.
Everybody, it is.
And it's like, okay, I'm gonna. There's been a huge migration away from those types of churches,
yes.
and I think MacArthur was talking about it, that can't have a foot in, make a bunch of money,
you can't,
and preach faithfully. And
well,
that's
think about
getting
this.
Farther and farther apart, and you can't do
that's
that
right.
anymore.
So, well, thank God that the Lord is shifting this, which we'll get to talk about expert ownership, which is our attempt at growing and building God's people in the midst of today's Babylon. Like, we do have a community of people, and it's growing like crazy. And I know there's lots of others around the country that are growing as well, but our focus is marketplace. This is where we live. Mm-hmm. We have to be equipped. But if we think about what we've built in today's traditional church, the institutional church, think about Jesus utilizing our paradigm, the way we think about church today. Like, he wouldn't even say, I go to church. Like, mm-hmm. I go to ecclesia. Like, what? That doesn't even grammatically work, right?
Yeah.
And I'm making fun of myself in the middle of all this as well. But think about Jesus with his disciples. He's got 12 disciples. The rich young ruler comes to him. Now, that's your seeker, bro. That's mm-hmm. the guy. You got to tell him what he wants to hear, not what he needs to hear.
Yeah.
You tell him what he wants to hear.
Yeah.
It can feel good because you need his money.
But yeah.
And you need
that
his influence.
10% of that is a good cut.
You need his influence.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Jesus tells him the very thing he didn't want to hear. And it says the rich young ruler, he left disheartened. And then Jesus turned to his disciples. In other words, Jesus did not chase him down.
Mm-hmm.
He ripped his heart out. Dude leaves, and Jesus doesn't even chase him down. Okay, but think about
Jesus. Jesus got to be thinking, man, that money purse.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get
That's
fat.
Right.
Go get him, Jesus.
But think about Jesus with our paradigm of church today. So now he's got his 12 disciples, and he sees the temple, and he says, that's the biggest and best situated building in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go. Here's what we're going to do. Disciples, I'm going to go. We're going to go get that building. And I'm going to put you over 12 programs inside that building. And then we're going to put a jumbotron out front. And we're going to invite everyone to come to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're going to make this attractional.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to offend these rich people. I'm not going to offend any of the Romans. I'm certainly not going to offend the religious elite.
Submit to those in authority.
That's right. You know, so we're just going to submit. And we're going to invite everyone to come to us. And one day, when they all get in here, I'm going to talk about character development and a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about how to be a good husband, and I'm going to talk about, but I'm not going to talk about, like, if you want to leave your wife for a gay man, I'm not going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm going to have, we're going to do an Easter egg drop, and we're going to have, now listen to this, but once a quarter, we're going to put these things called bounce houses out front. We're going to have an ice cream truck. And I'm going to, at strategic points around Jerusalem, we're going to have these signs.
Mm.
It says, like, church for people who don't like church, right? Mm-hmm. That we're going to do something like, it's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm. Get the best stone cutters.
Totally, man. We're going to actually have, like, bartenders coming in and teach you how to make your toddies and all these things. This is going to be awesome. We're going to use the ways of the world to attract people.
Mm-hmm. So we can minister to them.
That's right. No, you know what Jesus said to his disciples? You see that building right there? I'm going to bust it down. I'm going to break the whole thing down, but then I'm going to rebuild it. In other words, I'm going to break down that stationary idol, and I'm going to rebuild a mobile temple in the body of people, right? It's going to look nothing like you could even think or imagine. I mean, what we have done to the church, or the ecclesia, is we have prostituted and made it a whore.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of them. Thank God. I thank God for the real ecclesia.
Without payment.
That's right.
Worse than a whore.
It is. And it's just, I love God's people and I love God's men and women. And I love the leaders of the true biblical ecclesia, and many of them, some, and I've met several that are actually part of the institutional church that I just described, but they're pivoting it. Mm. They're repurposing it. And that's been very exciting to see. At the same time, there's just this migration into true biblical community where we are actually looking at each other. We're talking. We can hold each other accountable. A man can open up to another man and say, here's what I'm really struggling with. How do I love my wife better? How can I be a better dad?
It's not about what we look like.
No.
It's about what Jesus is doing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And it's not like this all perfection. You know, you look at social media and Instagram and everybody's perfect. You know, you look at it and it's perfect. And this mom is perfect. And now your daughters are comparing with this girl who's perfect. It's like, and I tell my daughter, ain't none of these people perfect. They just are portraying perfection, but they ain't perfect. Trust me. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, the Lord is really busting this whole thing up. And the exciting thing is that we're returning to Scripture. We are, I'm watching just communities exploding around the area, specifically in the marketplace, just with our own little, the way that we are expressing this is through expert ownership and just our coaching platform and our owner suite and our coaching community and our podcast is growing. And it's so exciting to see the growth because people are hungry, you know, and I run into you and you're like completely independent of us. You're moving out of a mansion, moving into a bus, you're on the farm, you're raising your kids. You're like, I need to spend more time with my kids and I need to repurpose all of that I've learned in the military and utilize this for spiritual battle here on the earth. And it's like, this is the Holy Spirit working inside of you and working inside of so many other people as well. And I think this is a very exciting time for us to be born, but we have to be willing to break down what we have built up. Mm-hmm. And if we're not willing to break that down, if we think of Gideon's battle, the first thing God told Gideon to do is tear down that altar of Baal in your father's front yard. Mm-hmm. And I think in our mom and dad's front yard, like this baby boomer generation has really built up an idol mm-hmm. called the institutional church. I love the organism. I do not like the organization. Mm-hmm. I love the organism of church. Now, an organism has organization, but mm-hmm. it's organic organization. It's true biblical organization according to Scripture, not some organizational model according to Wall Street. Mm-hmm. So the three biggest influencers of the church, the organization of church or the institutional church today, Hollywood, Madison Avenue, and Wall Street. Mm-hmm. We want to be like Hollywood. We want to market like Madison Avenue, and we want to run it like a business like Wall Street. Those are mm-hmm. the three biggest influencers on the organizational church today. It's like, what the heck have we become? No wonder we're so tolerant toward evil. No wonder we're many of our celebrities. And so what you got to do, you got to be a celeb preacher, or you got to be a person with influence. Mm-hmm. And you can't say anything that's politically incorrect. And what my dad says, he says, these men will only speak as much good as evil will allow. Mm-hmm. So they'll write their sermons based on, well, will the New York Times get mad at me? Will mm-hmm. the people on The View make fun of me? Will I be criticized by Bill Maher on HBO? Trust mm-hmm. me, he eviscerated Jason and me. It was actually hysterical, and it ain't that bad. It actually felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just wear it.
The heat that you get from doing righteousness. So
yes,
you says evil about you falsely.
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
Living blamelessly. Matthew you haven't 5:11. Brought this on because you lack wisdom and you bark, like you were talking about today, barking up the wrong tree because you haven't been faithful
right.
in the small things. And so you're looking for a fight. You're being a bully, but you've actually, hey, I've sought the Lord and this is where we're standing. Because they
right.
actually try to get you kind of in the initial onslaught to go back and delete some stuff and kind of try
to modify. And I was very tempted, and in some cases I did. I pulled a few videos down just thinking, because they weren't bad. I was just scared. Mm. And then the Lord convicted both of us, like, what?
Yeah.
Who are you boys? In other words, we really had to go back to our identity. Mm. We had to remember, like, you have the Lion of the Tribe of Judah inside of you, and pay attention to what's happening in this culture right now. Mm-hmm. And thank God I had a dad and I had some men around me. I was in community with some really good men. And I remember one of them in particular, Dr. Michael Brown, said, you and your brother were created for more. You weren't created just for a platform to get rich and famous. You were created, he literally said this, to tear down the stronghold that's ransacking this country. Mm-hmm. Man, when he spoke that to me, that was like,
Forget about HGTV.
Screw that, man. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Like he spoke to the spirit that was in my heart. And that's, I just want to speak especially to the men that are listening to this podcast. You are created for more. You are not created for pornography. You are not created Amen. Just to be rich. You are not created to chase after all your hobbies. You were created by God, for God, to fight God's battles as a husband, as a father, as a leader, as a shepherd. As a warrior, you run toward bullets. You don't run away from bullets. We resist Satan, but we run from temptation. We run from nothing but temptation. That's the only thing we run from. Everything else we resist and we fight and we stand firm. That right there, that identity inside of you will make you the man God called you to be.
So let's shift it a little bit to business side of it. So the HGTV deal.
Yep.
Didn't go through, and you guys are in financial ruin, and we're in a double wide right now, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Quite the opposite by God's grace. You know, we tell people we built a bulletproof business, and by bulletproof, what we did was think about a bulletproof vest on a police officer or a military officer, and you have a bulletproof vest that protects your vitals. In business, there are 12 core components of your company. Mm-hmm. You've got your marketing and your HR, and you get your money, your cash flow, all these things. And you have to protect that by building it right, mm-hmm. by systematizing, by hiring right, by just managing well and developing and really honing in your mark, your message and your meaning, your vision and mission, making sure that all of your key performance indicators are aligned with that. That's what we teach with expert ownership in our coaching. So you can go to expertownership.com, shameless plug right there. But anyway, that's what we teach. That makes your business bulletproof. Now, it doesn't mean you can't take a headshot. Doesn't mean you can't get hit in the leg or the arm. Like you're going to be persecuted. Like in today's cancel culture, you're going to be persecuted. However, we didn't just simply live off the business income when the business was doing well. We made a very strategic move that Jason and I would take our active business income and we would begin to buy passive investment income, like through real estate. So what we did for 15 years of building our companies, we had developed our budgets, we had developed our cash to cash flow plan, our riches to wealth plan, and we followed that blueprint to a T. By the time we get fired by HGTV and all of a sudden this radical leftist mob is attacking our companies, they're coming after everything that we've got, they're eviscerating our name on social media and the internet. Just Google, you'll see. Mm. You'll see plenty of stuff about us. They could not touch our real estate portfolio. That was, when I say bulletproof on that, was literally bulletproof. It's like a force field, like the cartoon character with a force field. Mm-hmm. We had single family homes, multifamily apartment complexes, mobile homes, commercial strip centers. We had all of that tied up in our different LLCs. And all of that cash flow was coming in. They couldn't find us. They tried their dead level best because that's what this leftist mob will do. Yep. It's the thought mafia. They actually hire George Soros. It's by the way, I just want to say, the Tides Corporation, T-I-D-E-S, People for the American Way, George Soros Foundation, Clinton Foundation, and Obama Foundation. Those are literally the ones. They're the ones that are funding Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. that are burning our cities. They're the ones that are funding this radical drag queen story hour and the gay pride events and stuff that are coming through our cities, and Lady Gaga's putting a lime green strap on and dancing in front of children in New York and LA and all of these places. It is insane, bro. I'm telling you, they fund this, and they also hire people to target people like us, mm-hmm. go after their business, go after the baker, the florist, the photographer, go after the real estate developer. You go after any of them. And then the Human Rights Campaign also receives funding from these organizations, and the Human Rights Campaign, their initiative is to go, and the Southern Poverty Law Center as well, is to go after corporations and make sure these corporations, based on their what they call their equality index, mm-hmm. and their equality index basically is indoctrination. Mm-hmm. You will participate in a gay pride event. You're either gay or you're a gay ally.
Seeing all the companies.
Oh, they're all falling. They're just completely capitulating. Capitulating. And so that's what's happening. And so they were targeting, these groups were coming after every single thing we owned. I mean, they were doing asset searches. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy. Everything that we owned, but they could not touch our bulletproof income.
Well, because even you have some big nationwide companies in some of your commercial stuff or whatever. Like when an advocacy group comes and says your landlord, blah, blah, blah. Like they can't move. They can't just shut shop up and jump over to another spot of town.
But it's cool because we built it in such a way they don't know what we own. Mm-hmm. They can't know what we own because America is an amazing country and we can set up limited liability companies that are owned by trusts that are held in charging order protection entities. So look, we have an amazing country. Thank God for you know, the freedom that we have in this country to build and to build well. So we built it bulletproof. And so this is what we help people do with expert ownership. We help you develop that active business income, whatever business you're in. We help you kind of put that bulletproof vest over your vitals. And then we also help you transition that active income over into passive income and to really kind of put that force field around you. And at the end of the day, though, economically, we're not ultimately bulletproof because Jesus says, if you come to me, you've got to lay down everything. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean you lay your brain at the door and you get stomped on where you're like, okay, well, I live in the freest, richest country in the world, but I'm not going to utilize the wisdom God gave me to build a business and to develop a real estate portfolio that's bulletproof. We use that. Mm-hmm. But if it all goes away, we still stand for the Lord regardless.
Yep. Well, and speak to, I mean, one of the things I feel like people will say, business is mission work or but they're not super concerned about doing the business well. They're still kind of in that mindset of like, because it is in vogue or is a lot of Christian organizations talking about in the marketplace and things like, not enough. But even then they just still kind of smack of like, mediocre business, it's
terrible,
and then hire a chaplain or do this. Like, there's these gimmick things that will ultimately portray that you're not trying to be a man skilled in his work.
Yeah, and they're still greedy and they're not excellent. You know, just the simplicity of the faith is whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. Period. Mm. That's it. Like, it's got to be taught from childhood. No blue ribbons that everybody gets, participation trophies. That's just not the way the world works. You got to go hard.
Well, I can't remember what book it is that you guys talked about when you were working for people early on out of baseball, scrapping stuff together. And then you just completely reorganized this guy's warehouse or whatever and went above and beyond.
We had to move our families in together because we were minor league baseball players. So we were scraping money together and this guy hired us for one day because I was looking for any work I could get, hired us for $8 an hour back in the day. And he said, it'll take you 8 hours to finish the job. Well, Jason and I finished the job in 4 hours and we're looking around. We're like, well, you know, we could sit back and just kind of chill for these next 4 hours, or we could actually give more in value than we take in pay, which is a kingdom principle. So that's what we decided to do. And we reorganized his warehouse and just really got it cleaned up and got rid of crates and swept and all this other stuff. And when he came, but when he hired us, he says, I've only got one day's work. I don't have full-time work. I'm sorry. And then when he came back, he said, who did this? Mm-hmm. And we were like, well, we did. We, you know, we had some extra time. And he's like, I want to hire you both full-time. So what we found is when you give more in value than you take in pay, doors that were once closed now swing open. Mm-hmm. And that's kingdom. That's what we're called to be. And the thing is that we have become so mediocre, and we, as believers, we oftentimes we will go and think about the Lord, but we're not acting as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. We have to remember Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3 that says, when you work as unto the Lord and not as unto man, not by way of eye service as man pleasers. That's what scripture teaches us. We have to have that paradigm. My kids know when we go out to eat, I'm going to tip well. And my kids also know, even if the service is bad, I tip well. And here's the reason why. And I'll give them a note that Jesus loves them. You know, work hard. Hope you're doing okay today. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But my kids know, dad tips based on who he is, not based on what he receives. Mm-hmm. Right? And as believers, we will go to seminars so that we can maybe declare the kingdom or even defend the kingdom, which is great. But first and foremost, we have to demonstrate the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that is first and foremost. Like, when we're talking about marriage between one man and one woman in the church, and yet 51% of our marriages end in divorce, we need to really be, you know, marriage is hard, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting here pointing at everybody. I'm like, we're all in this together, but we have to demonstrate this is what it looks like. This is how we get through it. This is how we get through the hard times. We have to demonstrate what it looks like in the marketplace to give more in value than we take and pay, to prioritize the customer over our profits. Like, we have to actually practically demonstrate that. And I don't care if you got a chaplain on your payroll. I don't care if you have some big vision that's got a Bible verse up front or you have a cross on your business card. That doesn't matter to me at all. I want to see the demonstration of the kingdom. It says in scripture, you will know them by their fruit. What kind of fruit are we producing? It doesn't say you'll know them by their impact or you'll know them by their income or you'll know them by their influence. It says you will know them by their fruit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh my gosh, patience. That's a hard one. Gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are things that we can practically display in the marketplace. And if we are displaying that kind of fruit, now we are practically demonstrating the kingdom in the marketplace, and we are excellent with whatever our hand finds to do.
Yeah. And I think that men where they are right now are easily, even just with Instagram, whatever, they can look at somebody like you and be like, man, I want to do that. I want to get where, you know, but then they're giving 7.5 hours, taking a little bit longer lunch break. They're not excelling. And in, like, right. When I showed up in the military too, immediately the stigma was, oh, you're a Christian. How can I expect you to do what it takes when it actually, and I'm like, have you read the Old Testament,
you
buddy?
You might want to read the
scripture. Do you understand
what's
going on here? And I had to, because I did declare whenever I showed up to Ranger Battalion and said, I am a Christian and this is how I'm going to live.
I love it.
But then immediately they're like, when we get into firefights, when we do any of this kind of stuff, are you going to actually demonstrate what we think needs to happen? And like, that's where the greatest warriors that ever existed in the face of the earth were God's men.
That's right.
Because death has been defeated.
That's right.
And because it's been defeated, it also, you don't have to worry about a mortgage payment. You don't, I mean, maybe you do. Right. Maybe you need to get a smaller house.
Yep.
Like, first of all, like, I think a lot of guys, I see even their wives are working full time, their husband's working full time. And I love the way the expert ownership breaks it down as Pharaoh mentality or kingdom mentality.
Yep.
And I think we all have just bought, even though we did away with slavery, we're the most enslaved we've ever been
in
history.
And here's why. And I want to encourage those that, you know, are having to work both jobs and all this other stuff, or that are living a little bit big or whatever it may be. Pharaoh, of course, we know Pharaoh enslaved the people of Egypt, and it's just the world's system, or the people of Israel inside of Egypt. And that's the world system, but the kingdom is freedom. And the Pharaoh model prioritizes standard of living. The kingdom prioritizes quality of life. See, through standard, if your standard of living is high, you can increase that through debt, and most people do. It means I have to have stuff. I want stuff. I want big vacations. I want all of these other stuff. Is not bad, and vacations are not bad, but that has to be prioritized if standard of living is your priority. But in the kingdom, quality of life is our priority, even if you don't have all the stuff, right?
Yep.
So standard of living's most, like, valuable asset would be debt. And you could just run it up and you can get your stuff. But quality of life's most valuable asset is time. Standard of living is money. Quality of life is time. We chose really early. Quality of life was the most important for us. So we used very conservative debt. But then we got out of debt as fast as we possibly could and have never gotten back into debt. Like, we just don't utilize, by God's grace, we've utilized a little conservative debt, but we're completely debt free by God's amazing grace. I'll use an equity line to make investments from time to time, but we want quality of life. And that is so important, is that while standard of living can be increased with debt, quality of life can only be increased through discipline. And we have to sit loose to the needs of our flesh. We have to be willing to have high speed, low drag. And we have to practice delayed gratification.
Well, and I think that it's, people talk to us all the time, because we talked about, I'm in a bus. It's 400 square feet, but it's only 6 feet high in the middle, and it's like 5 feet high on the sides or whatever. It's got the curved ceiling. And a lot of people talk to us, say, what are you doing? And it's, our kids love, I mean, my son, my 13-year-old son, it's crazy. And sometimes as a man, I'm like, what am I doing? Moved him into this bus. We're out on the land. It's not, I have a mansion. I'm not like, why am I making the mistake here? But then we pull back up in the car, up to the bus, the barn's there. And my son's like, I love our life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, God's give a little whisper, like, oh, it's going to be okay. And kids, and it's like you, quality of life is a good, a strong marriage, good relationship with your children.
That's right.
And you can live in a bus and love life. Like, be
that's
excited.
Exactly right.
And I even asked, my wife went out of town for a couple of days. I'm like, were you a little depressed to kind of be like driving back from staying in a nice Airbnb to have to like come back to the bus? And she's like, no, I was excited to get back, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like that there's that I just love the way that you phrase that, because you can start investing in the people in your life right now.
Yeah, that's more
and
important.
Get it.
Think about it. You know, let's just say you're in real estate and you have a commission of $100,000, which would be supernatural. That's huge. And you call your daughter to, hey, I just closed this deal. Let's go get lunch. And she don't want to talk to you.
Mm.
Now, your standard of living is high.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You can get any meal you want, drive whatever car you want. But your quality of life stinks.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make that choice. What do you prioritize? So the thing is if you can get both, go for both. But you can't. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work that way. I have a nice house. You're here at my house and I have a nice house. I have a nice truck and I'm thankful for that. But I bought all of this out of my passive investment. So I mm-hmm. took my active and built a tranche of passive investments, and I waited years. Like, when I was selling franchises, I would have guys that were worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they're rolling up in their luxury car and they're writing me a check for 60 grand. Mm-hmm. And they're leaving the dinner, and I'm getting into my Nissan Altima with almost 200,000 miles,
mm-hmm.
driving to my little 1,400 square foot home, mm-hmm. because I knew I'm on mission mm-hmm. for quality of life.
And the framework you laid out in expert ownership, I'm like, already told my wife, I'm like, we have to do like a strategic session, because I think there's a lot of guys in the business space that talk about real estate. You guys talked about that. And there's a lot of guys that talk about, you know, Robert Kiyosaki breaks down active income, passive income, talks about trying to get, but there's the gospel isn't there.
Yeah.
And so as a business owner, as somebody that has some passive income, has active income, and is at that point, is trying to figure out how to be strategic and how to roll it and build it bigger. It's just been phenomenal. To hear that, and that delayed thing,
delayed gratification.
If
that's
you can
what
do
you
got
to do. And the way that you're living, though, is I truly believe, and I'm not just saying this because I'm sitting here on your podcast, but I would say the way that you're living, and the way that just the, you know, whether someone lives in a bus or not, that yeah. none of those all
don't have to do
just,
that at all.
None of those are that's just details. But the way that you're living is the path forward for our country. It is the path forward for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling you yesterday, be sure you're writing these things down. Like, mm-hmm. because we need this. I want my kids to look at you. I want my kids to look at some of the listeners that are listening right now, that you are delaying gratification. You mm-hmm. are downsizing so that you can upsize your future, your children's future.
Mm-hmm.
That is so vitally important.
Well, I really appreciate the time, and, looking forward to seeing how the Lord continues to grow. How many entrepreneurs you have in it right now? And then
I'll give you the goal first. So it's 300 expert owners, which would be kingdom entrepreneurs in 50 cities across the country.
Mm.
So that's quite a few, 15,000. And I mean, we're growing pretty quick, which is exciting, because it's you know, in the Bible it says, to a hungry man even what is bitter tastes sweet. People in the church or that truly love the Lord, but they've been part of the institutional Franken church for so long, are so hungry. They're like dry sponges. So they'll run off to all of these other conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of good stuff. Like, Cardone's got great stuff. Tony Robbins has great stuff. I mean, a lot of these other people have great stuff. But they're not leading you ultimately to the truth, whose name is Jesus. And that's where everything is. Because at the end of the day, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So all these mansions that we buy here, all this stuff that we have here, if your standard of living is really high, pales in comparison to what Christ has for us. So we've got to see this life as our battleground, this life as our, I will prioritize quality of life over standard of living, and I will follow the blueprint to get from cash to cash flow so that my children and my children's children can be taken care of in a country that you know, is eroding around us very quickly.
Well, I've been to a Cardone seminar. I follow all those guys, but I would just say to Christian men, turn all those guys off. Don't spend another money on their platform and come over to the expert ownership side, because it's just literally seeing that the principles tied back to the word. It's not paying lip service to it.
That's
right. It's not, it's not a bait and switch for people. It is legitimately for the foundation and then God bringing the yield from faithfulness. And so check out, I'll put all the links and everything in profile. I appreciate the time, David.
Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, brother. God bless you.
God bless you. There you have it, my interview with David Benham. I don't know about you, but I came away from that conversation incredibly encouraged and inspired by their example, with dozens of things to take and apply to my own life. If you want to continue to be inspired by the Benham Brothers, I suggest you point your browser to their website, BenhamBrothers.com, BenHam. Also, they have a couple of podcasts, but most notably the Expert Ownership Podcast, a weekly discussion to equip Christian entrepreneurs with the biblical tools they need to thrive in business and make an impact for God's kingdom. They also do a weekly live stream, Living Among Lions, how to equip believers to thrive like Daniel in the midst of today's Babylon. You can find that 8 a.m. Eastern, I believe on Thursday mornings, on Facebook or YouTube at Benham Brothers. They also have a Benham Brothers app, a resource that they created to help you in your journey of faith, walks you through book by book, Bible reading plan, and their own personal commentary. Again, thanks for listening. If you got any value from this podcast, as always, please share it with one friend, maybe a different friend than you normally share it to. Social media, as always, tagging The Spearing on Instagram, at Life on Target, and tell your friends about what we're doing here. Help them to be encouraged. Help them hit the mark every day of their life. Have a good one.